One of the good things about the theological college I went to was the monastic community just up the hill from us in the great monastery church. On arrival, we were given one of the members of the community to be our spiritual director, but we were free to choose one of them to be our confessor. And my choice fell on Father Clifford Green, who was a very good musician, a very good flower arranger. He used to, with a brush to the layer of flowers, like an artist with a palette of colours, and then put the flowers into the pots in this great monastery church, as big as an aircraft hangar. He also had this amazing knack when he was to celebrate at the High Mass on Sunday morning, when he was processing, and to look as though he was proceeding on roller skates. I've never been able to quite pull that one off. Although he was accomplished in many ways, he, in the words of the King James Bible, in the way in which King Saul is described, was little in his own eyes. Surrounded by many bright people from promising academic backgrounds, he didn't have that high opinion of himself, but I did notice that many students confided in him. And many years later, returning to the college on the occasions of one of the big reunions, I noticed, as I went down to the graveyard, Clifford had been interred there recently, that there was a yellow rose left by his memorial cross. And it turned out that clergy from all over England, over the years, had been ringing him in their distress and anguish when they got themselves into difficult situations. He had become the patient listening ear and the bearer of many people's sorrows and troubles. Well, is it possible, in a healthy way, for a person to bear the troubles and the sorrows of other people? There's an unhealthy way, we call it symbiotic relationships. But while I was in Perth, I went to a mass at the Catholic Cathedral there and heard a thoughtful and rather urgently themed sermon from the priest there, and it was on the relationship between Our Lady of Sorrows and the sex abuse scandals that have bedeviled the Catholic Church. And pointing to the statue of Our Lady of Sorrows, he said, she stands in solidarity with those of us. Well, Mary is an image of the faithful church, and looking down from heaven, she is distressed at the way in which its image is now distorted and malformed by betrayers in its midst amongst its leadership. And she stands in solidarity with those who are being faithful Catholic Christians and are taking the rap and the blame for what others did. And she is, in a sense, the one who was with us in our distress. Well, the reason why I begin in this kind of a way is that I'm focusing on the first lesson from the prophet Isaiah. And this is the text. The Lord has been pleased to crush him with suffering. If he offers his life in atonement, he shall see his heirs. He shall have a long life, and through him what the Lord wishes will be done. By his suffering shall my servant justify many, taking their faults upon him. Well, Isaiah is looking forward to the mighty work that Christ is about to do on the cross, by which he rolled back the radical forces of evil in our world. He is focusing on one particular aspect of the saving work, the way in which Christ took upon himself the faults, the failings, and the sufferings of others. He became their burden carrier. Now, that Good Friday theme has many deep theological resonances, but I want to focus this morning on one simple, straightforward aspect of it in terms of our relationship with Christ on a day-by-day basis. And that is the fact that many of us will have discovered already in the testing times of life that Christ is close to the brokenhearted. He's close to the brokenhearted in the same way that Clifford was. When we turn to him in our sorrows and our disappointments and our failures, his is the listening ear and comforting arms that surround us at that time. Until the end of the world, he'll take the world's suffering and sorrows upon himself. But this morning we focus on the particular and individual way he does that for each of us when we turn to him for consolation. He is there for us in a way that even our closest friend and confidant can't be. St. Augustine of Hippo, in his wonderful spiritual autobiography, The Confessions, talked about the way in which Christ is closer to us than we are to ourselves. He discovered that as he went down into the depths of himself, into the labyrinthine sort of subterranean caverns of the self, Christ was there before him to meet him. And in reflecting on the reality that each of us is to some extent a mystery to ourselves, Augustine found that it was Christ's deep understanding of him that was the key to his freedom and happiness. So it is that when we turn to Christ in our sorrows, we receive both an unreserved sympathy coupled with an unflinching assessment of what often leads to our unhappiness and how we've tended to shoot ourselves in the foot. He is the master of the physician of the soul who both consoles us and cajoles us towards that which would bring about the true ease of ourself and will bring about the mending of broken hearts. The way out of our personal misery is about becoming less concerned with me and my problems and my issues and what I need and becoming focused on union with the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The breakthrough message of the Christian religion is that when we move the focus away from ourselves, our self-hatred even, our self-concern, to take on us God's take on the world and on us, then our hopefulness increases. So as our self-interest moves aside in true prayer and worship, the possibility of genuine happiness emerges. Spoken in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.